fear God and give him glory and worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. From Revelation chapter 14. Martin Luther was just a man. We don't worship Martin Luther. We don't worship the Reformation. He was just a man, born November 10th, 1483, or 1484. We're not quite sure when he was born. They didn't keep as good of records back then. The Hans and Margarita Luther baptized the very next day on November 11th, the feast of St. Martin, and the parents fittingly named him Martin Luther. He was just a man who struggled with one very simple question. What will a wrathful and just God do to me because of my sin and my wretchedness and the darkness in my own life? How do I find a gracious God? This question plagued Luther. It cost him to toss and turn every night. It'd wake him up in the middle of the night. It drove him to despair and to darkness. It drove him to the brink of losing it. It drove him to years of depression, trying to find a gracious God in the face of his sin and shame. And it wasn't just a question that Luther was plagued with. It was a question of all 16th century Germany. Coming out of the plague, the bubonic plague and the Black Death that wiped out a third of the European population, death weighed heavily on the minds of the people, and they knew they were going to meet their Creator, and they struggled with the answer of what will a wrathful and just God do to me? How do I find a gracious God in the face of our sin and shame? So Luther turned to the church. And the church's answer to Martin was, Martin, do what is in you. Do what is in you. Do more, Martin. Do more good deeds. Do more righteous things. Climb the spiritual ladder, buy an indulgence or two. And then you will find a gracious God. And so Martin did. He did more. He spent years doing more. He enrolled in an Augustinian monastery in Erfurt, Germany, the strictest monastery that one could find. He'd wake up at 1:45 in the morning every day for 7 orders of prayer, spending hours in worship, hours in prayer, hours reading God's word, desperately trying to find the answer to his question. He'd go into the confessional booth and spend hours confessing his sin, only to turn right back around after he left because he forgot one more, and he'd go back in. He'd fast for days. He'd sleep in the cold. He'd whip himself with whips, trying to atone for his sins so that he could find that gracious God. But it didn't work. Even in the midst of doing all these good things, Luther still knew he was a sinner. And that even when he did good things, he took pride in the people seeing him do it. And he didn't do it with a pure heart. He didn't love God purely like he ought. He didn't fear God and worship him and give him the glory. The one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. And so Luther finally found the answer to his question in the Word of God alone. St. Paul's answer, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Boy, was that true for Martin. He knew he was a sinner and that he fell short of the glory of God. He spent years trying to atone for that. But yet, we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Luther found the answer to the question he was wrestling with. He found a gracious God in Jesus, his Lord, his Redeemer, his Savior, the one who gave his life, his blood on the cross to atone for his sins and to take God's wrath upon himself. And this was all a gift from God. Certainly wasn't deserved or earned. It's by his grace. through Christ alone. And it was through faith alone. Not by doing works, not by doing more good, not by buying indulgences, not by anything in you, but simply by trusting in Jesus, you have a gracious God. Grace alone, faith alone, the word alone, Christ alone. Luther was just a man. But when he found the Bible's answer to that question, it propelled him to a 16th century rock star. He was the people's pastor, which is why 500 years later, we still talk about him. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Grace alone, faith alone, the word alone. Does that have any relevance today? Does that matter anymore? Does Luther's views of justification have any relevance in 21st century America, 500 years later? As much as this Lutheran pastor wants to say, of course it does, because it's the foundation of what we have. That's what we teach as Lutherans. I have to shake my head in disgust and frustration as I look at our culture around us. And even parts in my own life, and I have to admit, no, it doesn't. And I would be doing you a large disservice as your pastor if I simply got up here on Reformation Sunday and I talked about Martin Luther, and I talked about the Reformation, and I even talked about the great solas, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, word alone. But I wasn't honest with the reality of our culture's struggles and the reality of my own struggles and the reality of the struggles that you're in. And Lutherans are all about honesty. We are sinners, this is true. 21st century America is dramatically different from the 16th century German people. I'm not that great of a reader of culture. I'm only 29 years old. You know far more about culture than I do. But it doesn't seem that most people in our culture toss to and fro at night, wrestling with this question, driving themselves to the near brink of madness and despair and darkness, and spinning their wheels all day, wrestling with the question of, how do I find a gracious God? And death is the farthest thing from the American mind. In our culture, it's all about our life and living it to the fullest. But there is a question that perplexes most in our culture. A question that causes some to wake up at 2 in the morning, tossing and turning. A question that rattles through our brains every day that is causing many of us to fall into despair, into darkness. And the question is this today: how do I find purpose? What's my meaning? Why am I here? The question is not, how do I find a gracious God? The question is, how do I find a gracious life? How do I find life that's filled with peace and contentment? What is my purpose? How do I find a gracious life? And the culture has provided the answer. We've been groomed with it ever since we were raised in this culture. The thinkers of our day, the media, our government, our schools, even our churches, stress, do more. Be accountable to yourself and to others, and do more. Do what is in you. Please other people. Earn their favor. Climb the corporate ladder, and then you'll find your purpose and meaning. We are accountable to others, and we have completely forgot what it means to be accountable to God. We've spent all of our time loving other people that we forgot what it means to love God. Our culture's obsessed with this, human relationships and self-centeredness. You know, 68% of Americans today, first thing they check in the morning, their cell phones. Because we're so obsessed with human relationships. We're so obsessed with earning the praise and of others. We're so obsessed with this. Say what you want about the 16th century and how backwards they had this relationship. At least they were focused on it. We don't have Pew Research data from the 16th century, but we do know what they wrote about. And that the very first thing they did when they woke up in the morning was they made the sign of the cross and remembered that they were a baptized child of God and they prayed to the Father. We are so busy seeking the approval of others in our culture that we've forgot to even seek His. Social media is at the very front of open and honest communication with who you really are. And it is instilling in every one of us self-centered behaviors. And there's nothing as ugly as self-centeredness. Turning everything about me and earning the praise of other people. Our culture craves the right impression upon others, the right filters on our selfies. That doesn't look good, take it again. That doesn't look good, take it again. Different angle, different filter. The perfect heartwarming stories of other people's lives. All of this is an attempt to find purpose and meaning in my life somewhere out here. And we've forgotten to find it in our Creator. And the fact that all of us still struggle with purposelessness is certain proof that God's wrath is upon our culture today. He's literally turned us over to our own devices. Romans chapter 1, because we've forgot to worship the Creator and instead we have turned to worship the creatures and spend all of our lives trying to please other people, trying to live up to their expectations, trying to do more and look perfect and say the right thing in the right way and always be right. I'm sick and tired of that. We are foolish to think that just because we're Lutheran doesn't mean that living in this culture hasn't influenced us. I'm sure some of you spend too much time trying to derive your worth from other people, children, friends, and it causes you despair and darkness. I'm sure some of you have spent a lot of your time seeking a life filled with purpose and meaning, and you can't find it here with other people. And in the face of a culture that's seeking its own glory, to a life that's only concerned with finding peace within oneself by finding approval from others, then being justified by God's grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone will not matter. Because you're not wrestling with how to please God. We have forgotten about Him. We've spent all of our time wrestling with how to please others, how to love them. Jesus gave us two commands. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself." We've spent all of our time, put all of our eggs in the basket of loving our neighbor. We've forgot what it means to love God. We've forgotten what it means to bask in the love of God. So I've stopped trying lately. I've just spent more time basking in God's love for me, and it doesn't matter what I do. I don't have to impress Him. He loves me because I'm a child of God. And Christ Jesus has made me His own, and you know what? I've cared far less about what others think of me. And it's been freeing, really. I don't care what you think about me. I care more about what He thinks of me. And His love for me isn't dependent on me impressing Him or doing more or having the right words, even as a pastor, or doing the right things. I'm going to make mistakes. His love for me is certain because Jesus has made me His own. fear God and give him glory and worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water and you. Fear him. Worship him, not others, not yourself. Meditate on his word day and night. Bask in the Lord's love for you, and his strength will fill your heart. Loving God with a pure heart and living for the one who created you and redeemed you. And for those who spend their nights wrestling with that, wrestling with their inability, that they don't love him purely, that their heart is filled with sin and their hands and feet are quick to do evil things and their mind can't quite wrap itself around God, and we think horrible things and our eyes are filled with lust and we are in utter despair. Well, then the fact that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone is all you'll ever need. And the Reformation will matter to you. Basking in the love of God by his grace. It's only those who have been broken by the law, broken by seeking the approval of others, broken by their own efforts, who will find that sweet comfort in the gospel so refreshing. And the gospel is this, that there on that cross, my Savior Jesus died for me. And his blood covers my sins, and his wounds have made me whole, and his stripes have healed me and made me a child of God, basking in the love of God in spite of my sin. He takes me as who I am, and I don't have to win his favor. I don't have to impress him. He has set me free, free from the house of slavery. And he has set you free too. And through Jesus, we have a gracious God. My flesh and heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and portion forever. Therefore, fear God and give him glory and worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water and you. For he has set you free. Free from trying to win approval from others, free from trying to win approval for him. And when the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Amen.